There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, and no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, does not come to the light, that his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they've been done in God. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 8. And we're going through this chapter, which is considered by some to be the greatest chapter of the Bible. I mean, there are many who have got a shout for that. Yeah, Psalm 23, John chapter 3, John chapter 10. But for many, the book of Romans and Romans chapter 8 is like the Everest of all the chapters in the Bible. And what we're going to do today for a few moments is just climb a little bit higher upon this spiritual mountain, which is found here in Romans chapter 8. And the higher the mountain, the harder it is to climb. And before us is a great truth, which is hard for many to accept. It begins with these words, "There is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And it finishes with these words, "There is no separation from the love of God." And when we come here today, one of the great obstacles that we have to the gospel, to receiving it, is that we know in our own minds or in our hearts, our conscience tells us that we are people who have done those things wrong and we are condemned. It may be that you have actually had a week, and I'm sure someone perhaps from family and from friends have pointed the finger and told you once again of what you're doing is not right, and the way you do things and the way you speak, and then you carry that condemnation which is then upon you. And then also we know, don't we, from the Lord of God, that every one of us has fallen short of the glory of God, and every one of us is condemned. Yet this is the great truth: there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And what we're doing is not giving any psychobabble, but we want to just show you that this is the case because of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ and what he has come to do, all that he's achieved there upon Calvary. And what we have found is that in this chapter, there are six sections which take us ever higher, further on, giving the reasons of why it is today that you can know there is no condemnation. And what we found, first of all, was last time we had a home base from verses 1 to verses 4. And it was very simple because of this, that now because of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of life, there it is in verse 2, has made us free from the law of sin and of death. And not only that, have we been freed from the law of sin of death, but the very law itself has been condemned in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ on that cross of Calvary, that he was made an offering for sin, and what he did was condemn sin in the flesh. And not only that, we also know that the requirements of the law are now being put in our hearts, that we would not walk after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. And what you find here in our little text today, from verses 5 to verses 13, I will read it to you, of now the second reason, where the Apostle Paul is explaining, unfolding the great good news which the Lord Jesus Christ came to bring, that there's no condemnation for us now, because it is a life for those who are in Christ, the life which is in the Spirit. You find it there in verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now, when you read that few verses, you're now being confronted with this great, great mountain, the great truth that the Christian life, you see, is one which is taken up with the Spirit of God. Actually, when we begin to climb our mountain today, that's the one thing we want to do. It's just take an overview of those verses. Don't miss the picture of what the Christian life does then entail. It's one which we know which is of God and of the Spirit of God and of the things of God. Now, if you've ever seen some of those mountain climbers, and especially the ones which then climb free-handed, they're quite scary, really. But before they climb that mountain, do you know what they do? They've looked at it. They've studied it. They've worked out the path through, the way they can grip, where they can push forward. And when you come and you look at those verses, that's what you're reading. Don't miss the picture. You can easily miss it. You can come to places like this and you ask the question, what is Christianity all about? It's about religion and rules and regulations and all these other kinds of things. Don't ever forget, this is what the gospel is all about. It's about a life which is not lived for the flesh, but is lived in the Spirit. And when you come and you read this very wonderful chapter, it's filled with the Spirit. You've got the Spirit of life, the Spirit of liberty, the Spirit of freedom. You've got the Spirit by which you can know victory, the Spirit of obedience, the Spirit which is resurrected from the dead, the Spirit which now helps us to fight and to war. And when you come and you look at this wonderful word, let me say to you this morning that when we come here, there is a God in heaven, and he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when a person comes to Jesus Christ, it's not that you have just simply some rules, but you have the very Spirit of God which comes and he lives within you. And you live within the Spirit. You've been baptized even into him. And that's what you find here in verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, and those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And the reason why there's no condemnation now is because of this life of the Spirit is one which brings forth life and peace. Now, when you perhaps watched the coronation just a number of weeks ago, and you saw all the paraphernalia, all the ceremony, all the ritual which took place, it's hard for us to really grasp, but you need to grasp this. That is not Christianity. That's not what it's all about. It's not about all the pomp and all the ceremony, all the red prayers, all the rituals, all the symbolism, all the things. Jesus Christ came to do away with that symbolism. He came to give us now a new life, which was to be in the very Spirit of God. And that's what you find here in Romans chapter 8, telling us what the Christian life is about. And what's read in chapter 8 is what is only being told us in John chapter 3. Look at that verse in verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. And those then live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now in that reading, we've read it so many times, but do you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ came and revealed that truth? He revealed that truth actually to a man called Nicodemus, who was the teacher of Israel, the archbishop of that country, the one now who should have known better than anyone, who wanted to know how to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus had to tell him in verse 6, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. And what happens is this, is that when he comes, he says, I want to enter the kingdom of heaven. He was religious. He was a teacher. He had all these things, but he had no idea, because you see, that which is of the flesh, no matter who you are today, you see, this world is divided into two people. You may be religious, you may be moral, you may be cultured, you may be educated, you may be poor, you may be a criminal, you may be a murderer, but you know, you're all lumped together. It's all of the flesh, and there's those of the Spirit. And so he tells us here. And what Lord Jesus Christ does in John chapter 3 is unfold that incredible news to us. When Nicodemus says, can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb? Can he then go back, that he can start again, that he could live another life, that he could then have something else that he could learn and then enter the kingdom of God? And you know, Jesus tells him, now you've got to listen to this. That which is of flesh is of flesh. The word there for flesh means this. Like a hanging carcass, the meat that you find on an animal, that's what life is like. Do you realize that? Life without God, life without his Spirit, life in this world with all its joys, with all that you see. It's just like a hanging piece of slaughtered meat and has nothing to offer. It is dead before God. And then for a person to come to know what it is, then to know Jesus Christ, you need that very Spirit of God to be born of him, born from above. And then Nicodemus says, well, how can that be? And then Jesus says to him, it's like this. He takes him to Calvary. You find it there in chapter 3, very simply in verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so it is when a person comes today, and you've come to believe in Jesus Christ, and when you've come to that cross of Calvary, where you came and seen him lifted up, where you repented of your sins, there's that experience. You've been born of the very Spirit of God. You've got the Holy Spirit, which now resides within you. Jesus told them that. This is the teaching he gave them in John chapter 14. All Paul is doing, he's not telling us anything new. He's just unfolding what Jesus has taught. I go to my Father, he will send you another comforter, another helper, and he will come and he will live within you and he will dwell with you. And you now who are of flesh have become spiritual beings. And although you may come to this place, and sadly it is in the case of our land, where there's dead religion, there's legalism and formalism and ritualism, all these things is not of the Christian life. He says, look in verse 5, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, and those of the Spirit on the things of the Spirit. That's the mountain. That is where we are. That's what's happened. The second reason why there's no condemnation. The first is that you've passed from death to life. The second is that you're no longer of the flesh, but of the Spirit. Now, what I want you to do just for a moment is just simply this morning to grasp and take two holds, because there's this mountain before us, and to understand what it is to live this life and what it is about. And you find it there, really, six and seven then. But with this word, it's found in verse 5 also. And it's got to do with a negative and a positive. We do the negative first. Those who live according to the flesh said, listen now, verse 5, their minds. You have it again in verse 6. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. That's what you need to know. When he comes and he speaks, well, what is this spiritual life that you're talking about? Well, first of all, it's not to do with the outward, but it's got to do with the inward. How you really think. How then your mind works. And although we may be in this place today, and we all look the same, we sing the same hymns, do the same things, but this place is divided between two. And it's divided in this way. Those which are carnally minded and those which are spiritually minded. It has to do with what's inside you, in your thinking. Now, it makes no difference of all the works that we do. The charity, the good works, the kindness. Look, that's not the difference. We're all religious here, are we not? But the reality is this. There's a difference which is in the mind and in the thinking. And that's very important. Because what you find is this, is that to be, as he tells us in verse 6, to be carnally minded is death. The Lord Jesus, as we taught this in Luke chapter 12, we've been looking at it for a long time on the Bible study. There were people which are just taken up with the material. See, with flesh, with wealth, with inheritance, with possessions, with food, with clothing, with drink, with their necessities of life. And the Lord Jesus Christ has to tell them, now listen very carefully. He says, now don't you worry, be over anxious, be taken up with these things in your thinking, what you shall eat, what you shall wear, because life is not about these very things. Life is about something else. But when you come and you realize today where people's minds are. Now, look, let me just say to you, a person who drinks thinks drink. It's not just they have a pint, they think it. Where they get the next pint from. They talk to you about the drink. They know about the drink. And in our lives, we can be like that. Look, materially, we can be taken up in the things of life, the pleasures of life, what our life is about. In your thinking, you're consumed. In our home, in our fashion, in our clothes. Now, all these things are good to us. But you understand that the fleshly mind, it's death, it's not life in any shape or any form. And when you come, you see there will be those in their life, in their flesh. There are those things which are wrong. There are great industries which are made through ungodliness and sexual immorality, and people fill their minds. You can't even begin to imagine. We're talking billions of pounds are spent because people fill their minds trying to indulge the pleasures of the things of the flesh. And he says, well, look, if you're that way inclined, he says, look what it's going to be. He's simply telling us, here it is death. But those who are spiritually minded, it means life and it means peace. Because very simply, because that mind which is stayed on God, peace, perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Now in this world, God doesn't look at the world with many different types of people. God looks at the world with only two types of people. One of flesh, one of spirit. It's not talking here now about three types of people. He's not speaking of someone who is not a Christian, who is a Christian and a carnal Christian. It's very simply this. We're talking about one who is a Christian or not a Christian. And so you find it now in this very negative verse. And you've got to grasp it. In your mind, is your mind filled with the things of God, with the things which are eternal, with the things which are spiritual, the things which are unseen, to be spiritually minded. And not only that, look in verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. And that's brought out to us in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth, he was dealing, if you remember, with very religious people. Very religious people. But in verse 7, it tells us the carnal mind is enmity against God. Do you remember what he said? If you were of God, you would not hate me. They hated him. These were Sabbath keepers. These were Bible believers. These were, you know, people who were incredible in their righteousness. And you would look at them and you would think, well, this person is saying their prayers, they're giving tithes, and they also fast. Here are people who are taken up, you would say, with spiritual things. But they weren't subject to the law of God. They tried to keep the law of God, but really, they were against the law of God. How do you know? Because they took him, and they killed him, and they crucified him, lied against him, and then they put him to death. Now that can happen. You've got to realize this has to do with your mind, what's in your heart and in your thinking. And it does trouble me. I was been watching a series on TV. And you know what it's like when you watch something on TV. You know, they've got always about murder. You know, detectives, programs, thrillers, where someone's got murdered. Well, this particular series I was watching was called Clergy Killers. Clergy Killers. Wasn't just your documentary now of murders which have taken, but this was Clergy Killers. Actual documentaries of those which have been preachers. It was quite disturbing. And what happened was this, is that as you actually watched it, what you found was this. These people could preach. These people were charismatic. These people had, you know, certain things about them. They were obviously going to church. But at the end of the day, they were killers. And you say, well, why were they killers? Well, it goes something like this, that for an example, someone has an affair, and things can happen, no doubt, I'm sure. But in this church they were in, listen to this now, in the church they were in, there was no place for them to move on and to go further in that church if they were divorced. Their job prospects would come to an end. They most probably perhaps have to leave their post. So what do you do? Well, you know what to do, don't you? Well, if you kill the wife, you can still have the job and you can still go further on in the church. And you say, what mind could do that? Oh, I tell you what mind could do it. It's the mind of the flesh taken up, you see, with position and prestige. And then they join together in these evil acts. Now that happens, and he tells us here, these things, you see, are not subject to the law of God, verse 8. And so then those who are in the flesh cannot please him. And I just want to ask you that question, that what you're doing as you're climbing this mountain, I'm just giving you the negative first. There's no condemnation. Because those now who have been born again, and of the Spirit of God within them, you know of a life of life and peace. That's it. In verse 9 to verse 11, you've got the positive, speaking about them. But you are not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. I'm going to ask you that question. Does the Spirit of God dwell in you? If the Spirit of God does not dwell in you, look at verse 9. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. This is what it is to be a Christian, is to know the Spirit of God within you. It's not about your ritual or your religion or your practice or your ethics or your morality or your doing. It's about this which is in you. And if you don't know of him in you, then you don't belong to Jesus Christ. You're not in Jesus Christ. You're under that condemnation. Here's the point, is that if you don't know that, this morning you say, well, how can I know of the Spirit of Christ in me? Come to Jesus Christ. Believe on Jesus Christ. Accept him and he will come into your heart. And when the Lord Jesus Christ said, unless a man is born again, do you know what he's saying? He's saying this, unless one is born anew with the Spirit of Christ, Christ being formed within you, that hope of glory. And he says, well, but as for you, you are of the Spirit of Christ. Here it is in verse 10. You've got to grab hold of this. For if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, and the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Every one of us at one time was dead in our trespasses and sins. That's our natural condition. Let me tell you the natural condition. The natural condition is one which has not a pulse towards God. The natural condition, that is now a pulse towards Jesus Christ. You can't understand, you can't take it in, you're unable to see, and when it's being preached to you, you don't understand what's being said. That's because the spiritual state you're in is dead. But when God begins to work in your heart, then there's a movement which takes place. And you begin once again to have a flicker, to have an understanding, Your eyes are opened. You become alive. Your heart begins to beat. And it begins to beat for God and the things of God and the ways of God and the delight of righteousness within one's life, because the life because of righteousness. I've been thinking of that verse this week in Matthew chapter 7, where the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking in the Sermon on the Mount. And what he does is this. He tells of those who will come at the last day and say, Lord, did we not preach in your name? Did we not prophesy? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do all those religious things in your name? And what he does then, he says, depart from me, for I never knew you. And I thought, that's interesting. Because Jesus had been preaching in the Sermon on the Mount of a righteousness which was greater than the Pharisees. And you know that righteousness of a greater than the Pharisees? It's a righteousness where you would love your enemies. A righteousness where you would lend to people and not ask that which is back. A righteousness which would say hello even to those who perhaps would pass you on the street. A righteousness in your dealings, in your relationships, in your acting to one another, in being truthful, in your word being your word. And that. And you say, I can do all the religious things. I go to my chapel, I go to my church, I read my Bible, I've even spoken for you, given testimonies for you. I've done it. Depart from me. Because there's a righteousness which Jesus expects. And it's just in our day-to-day living with one another. Do you know, look at that in verse 11. This is what you find here. Look, you will not be under condemnation, because the very Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And the wonderful truth is this, that he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. In Romans chapter 1, verse 4, we read this, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The Spirit which rose Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit which came into the tomb, now resides in your mortal bodies. And you know that when you know the Spirit of God in you, energizing you, awakening you, giving you life, the resurrection life, even though you would die, yet shall you live. That's it. You know of the Spirit of God. Death and condemnation and judgment is not you. It's life and resurrection and peace which belongs to you. You take of this mountain these two great stones. You put your hand in this. The flesh brings death. The Spirit and its life brings peace and joy. Just one more thing. It's found in verses 12 and verses 13. And it's very important. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. But if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Do you know, just lastly for us, for those now who know this truth, then there is a therefore, that in our lives we are not under obligation to the things of the flesh. That's not the life that you are to live for. For the pleasures, for the indulgence, for the feeding of bodily appetites, for the glory of the world which is around us. Because God has done something in your life, because you know that he has bought you and you know that he's put his Spirit within you, you no longer have to live that life that you simply once lived. Actually, because you've got the Spirit of God within you, it's not that you are perfect by any means, but simply this, is that by the Spirit, you will put to death the deeds of the body. Now let's just make this plain. when someone lives, you're talking about Christians and non-Christians. And those who have become Christians, I know that we can fall. Temptation is all around us. But because you've got the Spirit of God within you, then you can mortify the deeds of the flesh. There's a wonderful quote, and I know I've quoted it many times, because it is my favourite quote concerning the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. It was given by the man called William Tyndale, who was the one who translated the Bible into English. And people say a lot about having the Holy Spirit upon their lives. This is what he says. The anointing of the Spirit is to depart from lawlessness. Simple as that. The anointing of the Spirit is to depart from lawlessness. You couldn't buy it today. Those who say that they know are being filled with the Spirit, they would know then of this, that there's going to be a life where you're taking yourself apart from those things that would bring you down. Now look at this very carefully, because it's very important. When we become Christians, it's not that we're without temptation. It's not that we do not fall or we do not sin. We know the Lord taught us, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others who trespass against us. But thankfully, because the Spirit of God now is in you, because you've got a power which is from heaven, you've got life which has set you free, you've got a desire to be obedient, you've got the Spirit which gives birth to spiritual things, you've got a heart and a pulse which wants to live for God, and you desire Him, and you love Him, and you want to know Him more, and you want to serve Him, and that's the life you want to live, and yet it's there before you, all your weaknesses, all your temptations, all your difficulties. But thank God this, you can mortify the deeds of the flesh. Jesus said it like this. It's nothing new. Your right eye offends you, pluck it out. Your right hand offends you, cut it off. It's desperate work, serious work. But you're not under condemnation, because now you see there's a new life which fights within you and is able then to strengthen you and to have resolve and to go on and to march on. But it's a deadly fight. I don't want to talk to you too much about murder, but this is what it says. There's a murder which should take place. For by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. I don't know if you've ever read, I'm sure you have. You must have read some murder novels. You may have read some crime novels. I mean, it's quite fascinating. But what I know is this, having read it, is that those people who commit such crimes, that takes a lot of work. Killing takes a lot of work. If you were to go into the army, one of the things they're going to have to teach you is how to kill. Actually, they may have to teach you how to kill with a knife. Can you imagine that? You've got to be taught how to hold the knife, where to put the knife, how to ram the knife in, because you've got to make the kill. Psychologically, physically, emotionally, to actually know how to kill, to go through with it, to go and put someone under the water and hold them till the bubbles don't come up anymore. To know what it is then to stare someone in the eye, to plan it all out, to think how you're going to do the deadly deed. And you plan it and you think about it and you've put your intellect to it. The crimes to kill. Now, this is what it takes in your Christian life. By the Spirit, by its wisdom and understanding and counsel and knowledge, by the power of the Spirit that you know in your life, do you know what you can do? You can come to Him, and through the Spirit of God, those things which hold you in your life. Look, some of your lives have been destroyed by sin. Sin brings death, separation, distress, depression. Sin brings judgment. Sin is not good. You say, if only someone could come and help me. Well, I got news. Yes, Jesus will. He'll put his spirit within you that you will then fight against that which is wrong and not right. And when you come and feed to the spirit, that is now life and prayer and reading and fellowship and church, those things which he has given us as the means of grace. Do you know when you go out to this place this morning, you'll be a little bit stronger, a little bit wiser, a little bit more to know what to do, that you may be living this life which is in the Spirit. There's no condemnation for those who are in the Spirit. And that's the wonderful news that we have.